Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Yesterday, all the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Big Brother Canada 9 live feed update. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and I am here with Chantel. How you doing, Chantel?
I'm doing pretty great. You know, as a Canadian, I'm really happy to be here with Big Brother Canada and RHAP, so it's going to be so fun.
Yes, we are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. It was day 7 in the house. It's our second update of the season. And I still feel like I don't have the fullest grasp of everything that's happening in the house, because the gameplay is very slow.
Well, no, I agree that the gameplay is slow, but I think that what's happened is, like, because we didn't see the feeds for a full week, and then we came in and we saw the episode and we were like, whoa, wait, what would have happened there? Then how did this happen? And was there a fight and who was fighting with who? And I think that we don't understand maybe some of the relationships that have developed. And so we're not understanding the development of the strategy that's going on. And so that's why we feel like we don't know what's going on.
Yes, there's just part of it, I think, is that there's an HOH that is not part of the majority. And so the majority is kind of lying low while this HOH is kind of doing some work for them. And then in addition to that, there's a lot of talk of, like, guys, things are going to get crazy when the teams end, right? Like, once the teams end, we can have a talk about this. Don't you think that once the teams end, it'll be interesting?
Well, that's the thing too, is that, like, personally, okay, I love Big Brother, so I'm not trying to knock Big Brother coming back to our screens, but I don't like these kind of team elements because I don't like the big numbers advantage clobbering the little numbers. And I wouldn't be surprised if when the team ends, they still kind of stayed a little bit in their majority alliance. So, like, Team Destiny might all stay more likely together and just take out all the extra defenders or the ex-defenders. So I personally don't love the team twist. Just going this long, just because I want people to have be coming up to the HOH. Like, half the house doesn't need to really campaign that much because, you know, someone on their side is not going to be nominating them. They just don't have to. If everybody was eligible for nomination, everybody would at least be talking to her, making some suggestions, like trying to push an agenda, but they don't really need to. So I think that that's also what's halting the gameplay. Only half the house is playing.
Yes, exactly. Well, let's get into the day yesterday. We had nominations, so there's a little bit of campaigning going on, but honestly, not a lot. We start the day, with Kiefer he knows that he is, probably going up. And so his plan for the day is that he's going to try and pitch for Rohan to go up instead of himself. And the pitch is that Rohan is going to be better at winning the veto, than Kiefer will be. So if you put Rohan on the block next to Josh, who is the, presumed target, then, you know, that's a better chance of getting Josh out. Now, what Kiefer, doesn't quite know is that he's actually the target from Austin. He would stay as of right now, if he's on the block next to Josh. But this pitch makes no sense from Austin's point of view, because Kiefer is the target.
Exactly. I mean, I feel a little bit bad for Kiefer because he doesn't really know what's going on with Austin. And she's not really divulging that much. And she's saying that he's not the target here, that it's Josh. And so he's really taking that, as truth. And even though she's not really being completely honest with him, and she doesn't really want Josh to go. And so I'm just wondering, if she doesn't want Josh to go, why is she putting up somebody that could easily go? I don't really get that part of her.
Yeah. Well, LaToya's gonna basically go to Kiefer and be like, dude, stop. Don't pitch the Rohan thing. Just stop. You're gonna go up, but you need to just chill. You've got the numbers. Don't worry. This is going to be a repeated conversation. She's already had this conversation with Kiefer. She's gonna continue to have it. LaToya doesn't have a lot of patience for Kiefer. She does have patience for some people. Kiefer is not one of those people.
Yeah, I'm noticing. Okay, just I need to put it out there. So my brother's girlfriend's brother's ex-girlfriend is LaToya. So I haven't heard about her yet, but like my brother's girlfriend was like, oh my God, I know her. Like she was dating my brother. And so I'm gonna be interested just in knowing learning how much of her personality is the same inside and outside of the house. I just wanted to preface that by the filter that I'm watching her play this game. I just kind of think that she doesn't really lie, or her face doesn't tell a lie about who she likes and doesn't like. It doesn't seem to me like she has any patience for Josh, Kiefer, and I think Beth now is kind of coming in there as someone that she doesn't really have much patience for. So I am learning that she doesn't really know how to put on that smile when she's not really feeling somebody.
Yeah. Austin does mention to LaToya that he would like to take Austin out next week. He is not pleased with the current predicament, and would like to take a shot back if he can.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's going to happen. You know, there's still other people that could have been targeted. And so if he feels as though one person and then her ally Brayden potentially would be on board with these nominations, like that's two people that he knows don't particularly want him in the house. Because if you want someone in the house, you don't nominate them. Like that's just fact. And so I can understand why she's at least emerged as a potential target.
So Austin is going to have a few conversations. These conversations made me feel slightly better about Austin's situation than I did yesterday. But overall, not a lot better. So we'll talk him through. Austin talks with Josh. Josh is going to, you know, kind of come up, and he knows that, you know, he's in a bad spot with Austin, and that he might go on the block. She asks him what his thoughts are in terms of, hey, what do you think about nominations? And he runs through the pros and cons of like everyone who is vulnerable. You could nominate Jed. Let's see. Pros would be, he's big guy. He's big. Pros for Jed would be, he's very handsome. Cons would be he's a big guy, big threat. I actually kind of liked this as like a way of avoiding like name dropping people fully. But also he did end up giving so much ammunition. Like if Austin wanted to bury Josh, she has quotes from him now on everyone. So.
True. I mean, information is currency in this house. And so unless he's like building like a final two alliance, or maybe not that far ahead of the game, but like some sort of strong alliance with her, I wouldn't want to be sharing that much information, especially if she can just use it. Like he should have learned that, you know, you can't tell that many people's stuff because Julie kind of outed him last week, apparently. So I wish he had learned his lesson.
He feels probably the strongest about LaToya in terms of like that's maybe who he would go after. But this conversation doesn't really go anywhere. It's not going to change anything. Josh is not the most capable social player as of right now.
Yeah, I drafted him on my team, and then had higher hopes for him, and it doesn't seem that he really knows how to maneuver just like different vibes, different energies, different personalities. I was hoping that he would do a lot better, but if he stays, he might be able to turn things around, but I have hope in that sense. But right now it doesn't seem like he knows how to maneuver. He's clearing out rooms and
Kind
of messed.
Yeah. Kiefer's gonna take a shot with Austin. He does end up giving his Rohan pitch. It predictably goes nowhere, and she's going to end up telling Brayden, who's gonna tell, you know, Kyle and Rohan, and it's a bit of a mess here from Kiefer. This conversation also goes nowhere.
Yeah, he's just I do like Kiefer a lot, and I'm really happy that he has like a strong group that is championing for him and kind of protecting him here. But he's not listening to their advice, and I wish that he was listening to their advice, because he'd probably be able to do later further along in the game. I think right now he's just a number for them, and they enjoy him being part of their group. But I don't know if he's helping himself moving forward.
Yeah. So Kyle is then going to talk to Austin, and they seem to have a pretty good relationship. This made me feel slightly better about Austin's position, but only slightly. And I've since kind of backed off of that position, especially given some of the conversations this morning. They seem to have a decent rapport. She is telling him the plan. She's kind of withholding a little bit, you can tell. And she, you know, she's of course going to go through the whole spiel about how she was never really even that close to Julie. She barely even knows who Julie is. I mean, who was Julie? I forget. Let me tell you, is going to repeat throughout the day. There are still three people talking about Julie. It's Austin and Brayden, who are talking about how they never knew her. And LaToya, who's talking about what a great move it was to get Julia. Whoa, thank God we did that, guys.
Well, I actually do think from what it seems like happened that it probably was a good idea for them to evict Julie.
Was a good idea from LaToya. I mean, the logic is sound. The logic that they're saying is that if Julie was not gone right now, then Austin would not be nominating Julie. She would not be nominating Brayden. She would be forced to nominate, somebody. It would be like Rohan and Kiefer, which would be a bit tougher. And then if the veto is used, now she can only really choose between Jed or LaToya. And that would be very, very bad for them. So they're very glad that LaToya did this and that it was the right move. And I don't fault LaToya for reminding them.
Yeah, no, definitely be like, listen, it was a good thing we did this here, because you'd been in a way worse situation. Absolutely.
Yeah. Kyle and Austin, they do talk about working together a bit here, but nothing too solid. Kyle mentions that he feels like he's close to Tina and Tara, that he feels like he's got them in his pocket. And that if Austin has, you know, people like Brayden and Victoria, then maybe they can kind of like bring that group together or something along those lines. But this is just tentative talk, and they're never really going to reconvene, at least for this day. And again, given some conversations that I've seen this morning, I'm not sure it will ever happen. But it's a decent conversation for now. But it's again just that like, I don't feel like Austin is using this HOH to its fullest potential here. She's having a little bit of these like tentative conversations about like, we could work together. Like nothing is firming up. She's not using the power to gather information at all. And she's still just putting up two people, one of which is her target, who isn't even the plan to go home right now.
Exactly. And, you know, I said it already, but I just, if it was, everyone was eligible for nomination, everybody would be coming up to talk to her. And then she's also saying that she wants people to come to her. She doesn't want to bring, like, call people in. But I think in this scenario, I think she should be calling people in and be like, I just want to talk to everybody and see where everybody's game is at and like where their heads are at and what they see for the future and how they maybe want to work together. Because nobody's going to be like, ooh, why are they talking? You know, she's head of household. She wants to talk to everybody. So I do wish that she was at least being proactive and being like, let's talk to every single one of these house guests if they're not coming up to her and approaching her directly.
Mm-hmm. So Austin talks to Ty, and this was by far the most promising conversation for Austin, because there is apparently some kind of alliance between Austin, Ty, Jed, and Beth. Now, it's hard to know exactly, but it seems like this is the side alliance for Ty and Jed. I'm assuming it's not the main alliance, mostly because they tend to talk a lot more strategy with LaToya, although LaToya is also just somebody that talks more strategy. So it's possible that that they just have to indulge her and that they were really loyal to the Austin and Beth side. But it seems to me like it's more so that Ty and Jed are with the Sunsetters, the six person alliance with LaToya, than they are with Austin, especially because like Beth is also in the Sunsetters, which means that this is an alliance of half the Sunsetters and one extra. This is a parachute, right? Now that does not mean that I don't think that they could just move in this direction if they decided that that was what was best for them, if that's how the events play out. But Austin, this is why Austin, I think, feels so comfortable. This is why she is, you know, moving so slowly. She feels like she's in with the cool kids and she doesn't need to do much. And what she doesn't realize is that they have a ton of other options going on right now that she does not, you know. Yeah, the story is old as time.
Because she's pretty young, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. I think she doesn't really realize that, you know, she's playing the game at maybe like a one or a two, and everybody else, well, especially LaToya, we'll see, maybe the Sunsetters.
LaToya and the older crew, and that's what they're being called in the house as well. It's so the Sunsetters, just to reset very quickly, it's LaToya, Tina, Jed, Ty, Beth, and Kiefer. So, you know, half of that alliance is like 30 plus. And they kind of, if LaToya had her way, she would replace Beth with Tara, the other 30 plus. And I think that the age thing is a huge factor. Like while Austin is playing, as you said, at like a one or a two, trying to fit in, you have this older crowd who is playing at a much higher pace.
Yeah, and I think that she doesn't even realize that people are playing that hard, including, like, you know, the Ty and the Jeds of it all. She just doesn't even realize that they have other things going on, that they're having other conversations. Like, I think they feel like it's very straightforward and it's quite nuanced and they're not recognizing there's other things happening.
Yes. So Austin is trying to pull in some other people. So they discuss, like, oh, what if we brought in Kyle? Wouldn't that be a nice addition to our group of four that we kind of have? And when I say this is like an alliance of four, there doesn't seem to be a name. They've never met up in any way. I've never heard anybody talk about it outside of this conversation. So very loose. So they discuss, like, what if we bring in Kyle? Austin suggests Brayden. Let's pull in Brayden. That would be great. And you could tell the Ty was like, yeah, we could consider that. We can maybe do a thing. I mean, we could think about other people as well. He eventually is going to be like, sure, well, let's do Brayden. But it's very clearly like it's not going to.
What about Rohan in that situation? Because I feel like Kyle and Rohan are pretty tight. I would think that he would be pulled into there as well.
Right. And that's kind of what I would assume. If they do end up going with something like this, basically, if they approach Kyle, I think that Rohan would be brought in as well, especially if they are also considering Brayden. You know, Brayden is somebody that that feels very good about Rohan. Rohan's been working on his relationship with Brayden, and so I would assume that Rohan would be brought in. But again, there's a very interesting conversation this morning. I keep alluding to it, but just to give you a brief preview of it, Rohan and Kyle are actually not as tight with Jed and Ty as we may have thought, given their conversation in the first night of feeds. They are very skeptical of those two. They think they are basically concerned that Ty, Jed, Austin, and Beth are in an alliance. Which is that alliance? And so if they were approached, if Kyle was approached to join that alliance, I'm very curious to know how they would respond to that, especially because Kyle feels very good about Tina and Tara and would seemingly prefer to go in that direction. So it's very interesting where this could go if they do this. Is interesting, but there's a lot of talk in this house and not a lot of action so far. So we'll have to wait and see, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it will just depend on who wins more power. And that's going to be how things kind of shake out or solidify. Because, you know, if Brayden wins head of household, of course they're in alliance. Let's name it. And if it's somebody from the Sunsetters, they might not be so willing to be like saving Brayden in that situation. So I think it depends on how the power shifts as to where their loyalties are going to start to lie.
Yes. Now, Ty does agree that he's down to take out Kiefer this week. As far as we know, he doesn't actually have any intention of doing so, but he is certainly willing to say that he does in this moment with Austin. Now, again, it's possible that we could see him just completely turn on the Sunsetters and take out Kiefer, or maybe convince the rest of the Sunsetters that Kiefer should go because he's too much of a wild card. But it seems a little bit more likely to me that that Austin is on the wrong side of this, and she is the one that is going to be convinced or whatever to have Kiefer stay. They do agree, and she says that that if the veto is used, Rohan is the plan for the replacement nominee. She does not want to betray LaToya after promising her safety. She obviously does not want to do Jed, which means that and obviously not Brayden either, which means that that Rohan would be the only other option for her. And she feels very comfortable that Rohan would stay and that that he would have to take it, you know, well.
Would Rohan actually stay? I haven't really heard that much as to what would shake out in that scenario.
Well, again, she is lacking some information, right? She thinks that Josh will stay and he will not. So if Josh wins the veto and Rohan goes up next to Kiefer, the plan is to take out Rohan and they have the votes to do it. But that doesn't mean it will happen that way, but it certainly could. If Kiefer wins the veto and Rohan goes on the block next to Josh, it should be Josh in that case. But again, you theoretically never know, because as of right now, Rohan and Kyle are thinking about approaching Tina and Tara about going after Ty and Jed, which would be a mistake because Tina would run to LaToya, who would run to Jed and Ty, and if Rohan found himself on the block, they would find a way to make sure that he left. So that certainly could happen. I mean, anyone could go of the three. Basically, there's three people that could go home this week: Rohan, Josh, or Kiefer. Josh is the most likely person to go. Rohan is the second most likely person to go, and there's definitely an off chance that Kiefer goes. But none of these people are anywhere near any kind of power position. So it's not that important which one of them leaves for the whole structure of the house.
So true. Unfortunately, I don't see anything really changing that much with like any of them going home. But I am most interested, though, in seeing Josh win the veto here, because I would like to see, you know, any campaigning or anything like that happens, Rohan saving himself. I want to see if this villain emerges, and, you know, I want to see what he would do against Kiefer, who seems to be a lock to stay.
So they also, again, talk about like, man, it's going to be really, really, really exciting when there's no more teams, huh?
They know.
They always know. Beth is going to talk with Brayden a little bit immediately about like, hey, maybe we should put something together with the guys. So already kind of queuing up this idea that maybe Brayden can be involved in this sort of side alliance that they have going on. Rohan is going to talk with Austin as well. It's a very tentative conversation. Rohan had been talking the night before about approaching, you know, Brayden and Austin with an alliance proposal, just like they're talking about approaching Tina and Tara about a proposal. So there's definitely a chance they never end up doing it, because Rohan does not end up doing it here. It's a very tentative conversation. It's, you know, Austin's not giving Rohan much because she knows that he's the replacement nominee, and he's not giving her much because she's not giving him much. And she basically is like, look, I hope nominations stay the same. He guesses, he says, well, I'm assuming Josh is the target of Josh and Kiefer. And she does not correct him. She says, mm-hmm. So she doesn't really trust him with that information. And again, it's like, how do you expect to get your target out if nobody even knows that that's what you want? Like, you're not using your power to get, like, if you want Kiefer to go, then be like, hey, Rohan, I'm not putting you up. Can we make a deal? Will you help me out? Will you vote Kiefer out for me? But like, now Rohan has no obligation whatsoever to Austin, and he's already talking about flipping the vote on Rohan, on Kiefer, not realizing that the vote is already on Kiefer, but just going against Austin's wishes for who cares why, because she's not wielding any power.
Well, I think, though, she is afraid to say a name. Maybe, like, they all are traumatized by, you know, Julie seemingly outing Josh. And so she just, like, doesn't seem to want anybody to speak badly of her or be mad at her or, like, you know, to come at her with any sort of energy of being annoyed with, like, who she's going to be nominating or replacement nominees or who she wants out. So I think she's just playing a bit scared of the house, especially because, like, you know, LaToya is a very strong person and she kind of gets her point across. And I think that she doesn't want maybe to upset anybody else like LaToya or anybody, you know, from the Sun Setters Alliance of like her intentions. So I think she's keeping tight lip because she's kind of scared.
Yeah.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
So Kyle's going to talk with Rohan. Kyle wants to make sure that Kiefer stays this week. Kyle would like for Josh to go. Rohan seems like he could go either way. And again, come this morning, Rohan is going to feel like he would prefer for Kiefer to go at this point. You know, he's at this point heard that Kiefer is trying to get Rohan on the block. And he thinks it would be fun to flip the vote onto Kiefer and leave Josh in the house again. But Kyle, I think, is still a little hesitant of that idea, but it ultimately doesn't matter because neither of them are in control of the vote. Latoya, Jed, and Ty are going to talk just a bit. Latoya is concerned about Kiefer freaking out. He's going to get himself sent home. He's going to expose them somehow. Like she's worried about Kiefer.
Because Kiefer is a bit of a liability here. You know, I think he needs some being on the block training or something just to be like, just be chill, because you do have the votes and you don't want to tip off Austin that, you know, maybe things are happening. So I do wish that he would just chill, because he would be in a better position, as I said before, moving forward. And I also don't want his alliance to be like, okay, he's a liability, we don't need him anymore. You know, so, like, he might do that if he keeps on being kind of volatile with his being nominated.
Yeah. Rohan, Kiefer, Jed, and Brayden, I think they're all outside. And Kiefer is already talking. So the plan is Kiefer is going to choose Jed to play in the veto. And he's not going to expect anybody to use the veto on him, because that would expose their secret alliance. So, you know, they will keep him safe, but the veto is not going to be used on him. And he's already talking about how, like, hey, publicly, I don't need the veto used on me. I'm fine. Don't use the veto on me. And this word is getting around that Kiefer doesn't want the veto used on him. And then he's choosing Jed to play in the veto. You know, it's like, that kind of negates the point of the secrecy, Kiefer. Luckily nobody has picked up on why yet. But man, this is a bit strange.
Big mistake. I mean, if you want to be playing into this lie that, you know, you kind of want to be like, still be, please play it, like, please use it, and like tell people that you want it to be used on you, and then be surprised that nobody used it on you because, you know, you're hiding your alliance. So, I don't really understand his strategy there by, you know, out in the fact that he doesn't want the veto used on him, because everybody naturally wants the veto used on them when they're on the block.
Yeah. There was another conversation between Kiefer, Ty, and Latoya, where Kiefer is worried about this is another conversation where it's like, well, thank God we got Julie out. It's like, Ty also doesn't seem to have a lot of patience for Kiefer, but Ty is just like, yeah, I mean, she could have ended up backdooring Jed if Julie was still in the game, but like, he's kind of mumbling. And so Kiefer's like, yeah, she could backdoor Jed right now. And that's why we need to be planting seeds about getting Rohan on the block. Like, right now, it's not too early to do this. And Latoya's just like, no, we're not doing that. That's dumb. And he's like, no, but just like little seeds, just like a little bit of a seed. And she's like, no, it is too early to do that. We will do that if it comes to it, but we're not doing that now, Kiefer. He's like, okay.
I mean, I have to appreciate that he's a fan of the show, and he's watched many seasons, so he wants to play, you know, him being on the block, but he doesn't really realize that he has to play the hand that he's given. And I do think that it's that Latoya is right here. It's just like, you have to chill and you'd have to allow this week to play out, because if you make any flag signals, they might catch on and take you out. So,
yeah. So
we, it's fun though. You want to play. You want to like get in there and just like make some moves and like, okay, plant seeds and feel like you're doing something. But
yeah,
you also got to chill.
One of the more interesting conversations of the day came a little bit later in the bathroom. Ty and Latoya were talking, and Ty was kind of this. It seemed to me like, again, I can't get a full read yet on Ty. He's definitely playing well. I just don't know yet how intentional it is. I don't know how, like, in this conversation, you could interpret it two different ways. You can interpret this conversation between Ty and Latoya as them both discussing who they are a little bit suspicious of in their alliance. Or you could interpret it as Ty really getting some information out of Latoya tricking her into exposing who she doesn't trust, pretending to agree with her, and then is sort of like being like, well, I'm on your side. And I don't know exactly which is the correct read yet, but it does go down a little bit like that. Ty is saying, hey, we need to really lock down on who we trust soon, right? And she's like, well, haven't we already? I mean, our alliance. And he's like, yeah, but like, really, like who are you feeling best about? You know, we need to find those people. And she says, well, the only person I feel worried about is Beth in the alliance. And he's like, I feel the same. I've had that feeling. Why do I have that feeling, LaToya? Tell me, what are we suspicious of Beth? And she's like, well, I just feel like she's sketchy. I feel like she could be in another alliance. She is with Ty. And that's fine. I mean, you people, that's the game, but it raises the question of who is she most loyal to and what might she expose? And that's the question I have for Ty. Who are you most loyal to and who might you expose? Ty is like, yeah, I've had a feeling about her. I'm totally on the same page. I completely agree. So again, I could interpret this as like, yeah, that was some good information gathering, pretending you're on her side. Or he could have just been being genuine. Maybe he doesn't like Beth very much, and maybe he doesn't like this side alliance much, and he's worried that Beth might expose him. I don't know.
Or even maybe he's curious to see whether or not LaToya has picked up that he might be in a side something with Beth. So mm-hmm. He could be fishing for information. I don't think that he wants to turn on LaToya here, but I think that he wants to see if... his side piece is, been exposed, or if she's kind of caught onto it. That's where I think he's going with that.
Yeah. So LaToya suggests like, hey, we may need to backdoor Beth at some point. Like, I would love, if I had my choice, I would replace her with Tara. There's another like slightly interesting side plot of the day with Tina, where like Tina walks in on this conversation. She comes into the bathroom. And because it's Tina and she's in their alliance and they're close with Tina, they continue the conversation, but like they paused. It was one of those situations where like they're having this very sensitive conversation. Somebody comes in, they kind of pause like, oh, and then they continue like, oh yeah, we might have to do that. We might have to backdoor her. But at that point they had already paused. And so Tina was already like not engaging. And so now she's kind of like a little bit listening. And then she comes back over and they're like, I think they're trying to be like, we're continuing the conversation. Look, we're not pausing it for you because we trust you. But they still don't let her into the conversation. And so she just kind of like awkwardly leaves. sometimes those things just end there. But later in the night, Tina's just kind of like, LaToya, I've kind of gotten a vibe today. Like, is everything okay? And I thought that was interesting. I thought it was an interesting sort of character moment for Tina that I think this is where it came from. She seemingly picked up on it. She was also like, she was watching LaToya talk with Tara right before that moment that she said that she was feeling a vibe. And I think that she may be like a little bit like, what were you and Tara talking about? Like, how come? And she did ask. She was like, so what was that conversation with Tara? I'm wondering if there's just a little bit of like insecurity here with Tina to LaToya. LaToya is somebody who has a lot more connections than Tina does and is getting around and talking to a lot more people. Again. Probably, I mean, it didn't go anywhere today, but might be worth noting for the future.
Yeah, and I think that I don't know if we'll talk about it, but even Tara was feeling a little bit insecure in the house as well. Yeah. So it could be just like being the older people, not fully being able to connect with the younger people in the house, and so she might have been feeling insecure. Because LaToya, as you mentioned, is connecting with more people in the house, and as well as with them. And so she might be like, well, like, aren't you my friend? Like, aren't you here to stay with me, right? Like, and just getting a little bit insecure about her position with LaToya. I get it.
And yet, very understandable that in a game where you just met people, 7 days ago, and you have the person who is your number one and they are all over the place, that you're like, am I still the number one though? Like, what's going on? Why didn't I get involved in that conversation? Just again, something to potentially note for the future. Feeds are going to go down for the nominations. Josh and Kiefer have been nominated. No surprises here. Nobody's surprised, even in the house. Victoria does tell Josh, though, and I thought this was interesting. She says, "Hey, you're not the target. Kiefer is the target." And Josh was surprised at this because he was like, "I didn't know she had a target."
That's true, too. And I think that, you know, one of them is going to stay. So she should be at least cushioning both of them with the potential that one of them might be staying. And she hasn't really been doing any work even there as well. So I'm not really sure what she's doing with her HOH.
The plan was, let's tell both of them that they're pawns and make them feel comfortable. The execution was two awkward conversations where nothing was said, and then they got put up on the block. Like, it was like there's no execution from Austin at all.
I mean, maybe she's going to start learning how to play as the weeks go on, but she definitely didn't start great.
This is what Latoya talks to Tara. Tara is feeling a bit left out. This is a series of two conversations. One, this is the starting conversation, but I'll combine the two of them. But basically, she's feeling a little bit insecure. She felt like she'd get along really well with Brayden, and she felt like she just hasn't really connected with him. And that like has disappointed her. And then we later come to find out that she had walked in on Brayden making fun of her, which checks out. He has been making fun of Tara. I think that she's feeling very like insecure about that. She's feeling very like I can't believe I'm a, you know, 30 something year old woman. And I'm feeling like a school kid being made fun of in the house. And Latoya is comforting her and, letting her know that it's like, hey, don't worry about it. Like feel your emotions and then get past it.
Well, I didn't actually know who it was. I saw the second conversation where she was saying some people. And so I didn't realize it was him. And so I understand where she was coming from. But also, you know, the advice that Latoya was giving her later on in the day was like, who cares about these people? Which is true. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Like, you're here to play a game and win some money. Like, who cares what they have to say? But I understand also her being maybe a little bit sensitive, being out of her element. She's been in mom world where she's kind of like the master of her domain. And now she's kind of like just sitting with these younger kids are not really inviting her to play the game. So I get where she's coming from, but like also like, who cares? They're not great.
And it's no wonder that that Latoya keeps talking about like let's replace Beth with Tara. Tara is like fully under Latoya's wing here. I mean, this is a great spot for Latoya to have Tara in, where she doesn't really have anybody else. And she's, you know, Latoya's her go-to person. And that's very good. And I don't think she needs to be in the alliance, but it would help if she was.
Definitely. And I think it would help her feel a little more secure. She'll have a better time being in there because feeling like an outcast is not a good feeling inside the game or outside in real life. So hopefully bringing her in to that alliance would allow her to at least feel a little bit happy and like she belongs or whatnot.
Mm-hmm. We have another moment, though, with Latoya. I mean, Latoya is really the star of the live feeds right now because she's the only one that actually does anything. Josh is talking to the cameras. He's like, well, I'm clearing rooms. They love me in here. Hey, I wanted to be a villain anyway, right? Maybe this will be more fun. He really wants to win the veto to make his life easier this week. Just, you know, peace of mind. Latoya walks in as he's talking to the cameras. And he's like, oh, he just caught me talking to myself. He's like, talking to yourself? Why would you do that? He's like, you never talk to yourself? Like, oh, I was just talking to myself. Like, no. It's weird. Oh, well, Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes you talk to yourself. So, you know, just got nothing to do. Just trying to think out some thoughts. Like, yeah, okay, well, all right. I'm going to go, though. So, like, she, again, no patience. Like, no, like if I walked in on somebody talking to themselves, even if I did think it was weird, I'd be like, don't worry about it. You're fine. You're cool. Not LaToya. LaToya is like, Josh, no, this is no good. She's like, so, it was such a contrast between how she dealt with Tara and how she dealt with Josh. Like, she's good to her people. The people that aren't her people, no, you're a weirdest.
Well, and even right before that, you know, she was picking out her outfit for the next day, and he was kind of like, you know, talking about her maybe wearing some heels or whatever. And she's like, no, I'm not wearing heels. I'm like, whoa, you're not going to like, it is a, like, play along with him wanting to engage with you about picking out your outfit. And he's like, oh, do you always choose your clothes the night before? She's like, actually, no, I never done it before. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, if you're playing an improv game, you're always supposed to say yes. She's just definitely saying no, no, no to everything that Josh is lobbing over to her.
There was a moment earlier, too, where she asked Rohan to get her a drink. So Rohan goes, pours her a drink, walks back over to the couch. She's sitting on the couch. He approaches her from like the side slash behind, hands, you know, offers out the drink. She looks up at it. She goes, oh, no, thanks. He's like, you just asked me to get you this. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I thought you were Josh. I would love the drink.
Wow. Okay. So I didn't see that moment, but that's very clear that she doesn't want to maybe lie or like be fake to people that she's not vibing with or voting out. So she's very, it's very clear.
Yeah. Yeah. So Austin, Brayden, and Victoria are going to hang out some more. I mean, Austin is primarily hanging out with Brayden all day. And Victoria is part of it sometimes as well. They talk about how they feel good about Rohan. Brayden says that he feels like Brayden is now under the assumption that Kiefer won't even use the veto on himself if he wins the veto. He's talking about not using the veto on him. Like, he's not even gonna use the veto on himself. He trusts us so much because we've definitely told him that he's not going home. And I was like, I don't know how that you came to that conclusion that not only will he not use the veto on himself, but that means he trusts you. Like, you still think you're in power, I think. I don't know. Okay. And they also talk about how they don't like Tara.
I think that they forget that the head of household doesn't really have any say in what happens, like with the vote. I think they believe that if they have a thought that that's what's going to be executed with the head of household, and not realizing they have to put in a little bit of work in order to get their agenda to come through. So they're going to learn this week how to play Big Brother, probably.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, we had like Austin, Brayden, and Beth. Talking. Beth is a little more strategically focused, they talk about they still do want Kiefer gone, and Beth kind of brings them around to this idea that, hey, LaToya is dangerous. LaToya is working with those older house guests like Tina and Tara. We need to watch out for that.
I mean, it's smart. I just don't know if they're going to be able to come up against LaToya. I think she's in a pretty strong position, and I don't think that they can take her down right now.
Yeah. So that was mostly the day, unless there was anything else that that you wanted to bring up here, Chantel.
The rap? Like, come on. Were you trying to avoid it?
We almost got through it. We almost made it.
I actually really liked it, though. I thought, like, you know, I love those bonding moments. One of the things that I like about these social experiments is that people really form these real connections. And so when everybody's participating in something, even though it seemed like Josh was a bit of the outsider, everybody else is on the couch and Josh is kind of standing up in the middle. I like that they're kind of coming together and making a little rap, and they want to do a little music video. So I'm sure if that ends up being executed, we'll see that on Monday.
I'm just trying to listen to LaToya, Tara, LaToya, Tina conversations. And in the background, I'm hearing the same thing on loop over and over.
It's okay. Have you seen any of TikToks happening, though? I thought that I didn't even realize that TikTok was a sponsor. And I think it's very interesting that TikTok's a sponsor, but I haven't seen them really reference it yet in the house. Have you seen any of that?
Well, they've got like a screen thing for the TikToks, but the feed's usually cut if it turns on. So I don't know exactly what it is, but they're doing TikTok stuff somewhere.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's great.
You're like, I don't care about TikTok.
I was just thinking, like, man, if I played this game, I would have to be sitting there, like.
What would your line be, Jared?
They asked me that last night, and I said, I've got no patience for this. I'm not going to come up with a line.
Maybe that's it. No patience for this. Not coming up with the line.
Oh man, all right, well, that was the day. As I said, there was a conversation this morning. I'll make sure to go over it again tomorrow, but between Kyle and Rohan, they talked about Jed and Ty and how they feel like they are kind of in a majority alliance with perhaps Austin and Beth, and even maybe like Victoria and Brayden could be involved. They think that that's, I mean, I think the group that Austin thinks could be running the game is the group that Kyle and Rohan think might be running the game, which is obviously a bit of a mistake, I think. And they think that they can approach Tina and Tara about like, hey, let's do something about this. They do suspect that LaToya might be involved with the guys as well, but their reads are just off here. And again, Rohan is suggesting, what if we flipped the vote and you know, like made it so that instead of Josh goes, Kiefer goes. But he doesn't, like, he thinks that Austin wants Josh to go. He thinks he's flipping the vote against. They're a bit out of the loop, but they are two of the only people who are even willing to go after Jed and Ty at this point. You know, we'll see where this goes. And again, things are fluid enough, I think, that we could be doing something here. But we'll see where this goes today.
What's the schedule? Like, when's the veto actually? Is it happening today?
Should be happening today. Yeah.
Okay. I'm looking forward to how that. The fallout there is. Yay.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what we have for you today. Thank you so much for joining us. I'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today with the veto and everything like that. On Monday, we will be recapping the Monday night episode. Tuesday, we'll have the first roundtable with the Stockwatch kicking off. Look forward to that. You can, of course, find me on Twitch. I was live last night hanging out, watching some feeds, which were pretty slow. So I ended up playing some Fall Guys while we watched. and today we're going to be playing some Among Us games. Tomorrow we will be playing Among Us with the real Kyle Moore, the one that we thought was going to be on the season, as well as Melissa. Melissa will be joining us tomorrow. So make sure you check that out. Twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. And that's what we got. Chantel, where can people find you?
Well, you know, you can see my Twitter there @Shan_Fran. And then also have a YouTube channel, Reality Realness with 3 S's, where I'm doing after the episode coverage of this season as well. So you can find that. We're still doing the challenge. So definitely talking a lot, but that's all I got to do right now. So. Please join.
Yes. And I did speak with Julie yesterday. I believe it was attached to yesterday's update. I'll see if we can get that like uploaded to the YouTube channel as well. If you guys want to watch it separately. But for now, if you go to the audio feed, I believe it was attached to the end of yesterday's update. So, you can find it there for now, but, yeah, that's what we got. Thank you guys so much again for joining us. See you next time.